comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this planet we call Earth, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, and it is the show where you matter. Some of you have been getting sneak previews of tonight. Now, you didn't do anything wrong. Just unannounced previews, and maybe not very good previews, but I have been configuring our broadcast software all night and all day. And so some of you, those of you who watch our TV channel, off and on, all during the night last night, up until 8:30 this morning, I worked on it. You would see I would be on there, and then I would not, and then I would be on, and then not, and I was just doing all kinds of things behind the scenes that you didn't have any idea of what was going on. And then I decided I just had to get some sleep, so I did. I laid down and went to sleep at 8:30. I laid down at 8:30. I went to sleep by 9 o'clock, and by 10:30, I was back up. And I've been doing tests and configuring all day. Now, we still don't have it exactly like we want it, but it's close, and it'll get us through tonight, and we'll be able to do some more configuring and tweaking to get it going, but I hope you enjoy it. Now, each and every night I announce, I get emails from people saying, why do you say that every night about the K-Files? Well, it's because, number one, we have a whole lot of people out there in the millions who just don't get it yet. And, you know, they hear me talk about something on the show, and they want the link, and it was in the K-Files. And they haven't subscribed to the K-Files. So that's one reason. Another reason is we have loads of new listeners each and every night who don't even know about it. So the K-Files, well, that's our free weekly newsletter, and it is truly free. No strings attached, no trick. This isn't free like you get from Washington, D.C. that has all kinds of strings attached with fish hooks on the ends of the strings. No, this is free. I mean, really, F-R-E-E. All you have to do is subscribe, and you do that by going to my website. You'll see a link that says K-Files. Click it. Fill in the information it asks for. You know what it asks for? It asks for your email address. Now, that's tough, isn't it? I mean, we're really talking about something here that is a major undertaking. But you can do it. In a matter of seconds, you will join those who are in the know. We'll be back on the other side of this break. welcome back. And tonight we're going to go open line. You know, I try to do one open line show each week that's truly open line, BYOT, bring your own topic. And that's what this is. This is bring your own topic night. But I've got a couple of things I want to talk with you about before I open the phone lines. And I think they're pretty important, pretty interesting. One announcement real quick. Don't forget, this Saturday is the first Saturday of the month. That means I will be in the members area in the chat room Saturday evening. And so you want to be sure you check in, okay? And one of the things you can do while we're chatting on Saturday evening, you can enjoy the best of Kevin Smith at indie104.com at the same time. All right, so it's going to be you get a double whammy. And double whammies are good. One whammy is irritating. Double whammies, they're good. So you get a double whammy Saturday night. Couple of things I think are pretty important. And I'll toss these out there. And then you can tell me what you think about them. And we'll go from there, okay? Just some food for thought. Now, one of them I've already mentioned in a previous show, and that is this explosion on the sun. And remember, I said, don't worry about it. Explosions happen every nanosecond on the sun. This is a fair-sized explosion, and it caused the ejection of a plasma wave in a coronal mass ejection, and it was aimed directly at Earth. Well, it should already have begun to arrive. And it was supposed to come in late last night, early this morning, so it must have arrived while I was up doing all those tests on the software. They said that there would be a lot of folks who are not in the Arctic region that would get to see the beautiful aurora. Because normally that just folks in the Arctic regions get to see that. But they said this very likely could be in lower latitudes so that you wouldn't have to be in the Arctic region to see it. So some of you may have walked outside last night and observed the aurora. And if so, I'd like to hear about it and would like to get your description of it and your impression of it. I've actually never seen one except on video and, of course, photographs. But I think I would be impressed. I'm pretty sure I would be impressed if I were to see one. Now, why is this important? Well, it's important for a lot of reasons. The sun has been really, really quiet at a time when it should have been kicking up a little dust. It's been very, very quiet. And scientists have been saying that it would begin and that this new solar cycle is going to be pretty intense. Well, this may indicate that the new solar cycle has kicked off, and if it has, it kicked off pretty well, don't you think? And there are others. I get tons and tons and tons of email, and that's not a complaint. Believe me, I enjoy the email. I love reading it. I respond to as much of it as I can. And and by the way, if you get a response from me and it's like real fast and short sentences, I don't take that as me being angry. It's me in a big hurry. I want to respond to you, but I'm in a huge hurry, so I say it in quick, short bursts. So don't take that as me being angry. I had one email that responded that way. He said, "Hey, I didn't mean to upset you. I didn't mean to make you angry." And I said, "Hey, that's not the case. I'm not angry. It's just I'm in such a hurry. I wanted to respond, but I had to do it fast. Anyway, I get lots and lots of email, and I read it. I think about it. Sometimes it has links in it, and I follow the links and see where it goes. And sometimes I read those sites, and I find a lot of interesting and good information that way. Some of the email I've been getting has been saying, "You see, I told you, Nibiru is close, and this is the beginning of the end." Well, as coronal mass ejections go, this one was not especially powerful. It was aimed... we were positioned relative to that mass ejection. We were positioned such that it came right at us. It's not like the sun took aim at us, okay? This coronal mass ejection just came right at us. Well, you know, it's not the end of the world when the sun starts doing what it was intended to do. The sun is in these 11-year cycles. Every 11 years, it goes through pole reversal. That doesn't mean the sun physically flips over. It just means that what's north becomes south, what's south becomes north. There's a polar reversal. And you have 11 years of really quiet time, relatively. I mean, look, you know, things are really boiling on the sun. But 11 years of relatively quiet solar activity. And then you have 11 years where the sun is kicking up its heels. And there's lots of sunspots and lots of explosions and solar mass ejections and all this kind of stuff. 11-year cycles, and it's time. So, you know, this doesn't mean that I think there is no such thing as Nibiru. I don't know. I mean, I'm searching for the answers to that just like you are. Planet X, I'm sure, is out there. NASA announced it in 1983. Is that Nibiru? I don't know. But in 1983, the chief scientist for the IRIS Space Telescope announced, "Folks, we found something out there that is huge. Huge. We don't know exactly what it is, but it's out there." And he said it could be the size of Jupiter. And then all the news on that went quiet, and you haven't heard anything else about it. It was an accident. I know they didn't mean to do it, but they told you the truth. And we can forgive them for these minor lapses, can't we? I mean, you don't need to be harsh on them. We can forgive them for these minor lapses where they tell us the truth. And I know that's out there. And is it incoming? Is it headed our way? I don't know that. I don't know of anyone who does know. I know of many people who speculate. I don't know of anyone who actually knows. But even if it weren't out there, it's time for the sun to do what it did. And there's more coming. It's not the end of the world. You remember that song? It's the end of the world as we know it. Remember that? I know I can't sing. Okay, keep your comments to yourself. Sit down in the back. I know I can't sing. Remember that by R.E.M.? Wow, it's not the end of the world. The sun is doing what it's supposed to do. Now, if it had continued in its quietness, that could be the end of the world, maybe. I don't know. Scientists were really concerned about the sun going to sleep, and it didn't look like it was going to wake up. It was rather comatose. But it did wake up, and that's a good thing for us. Things will begin to return to normal. It's not the end of the world. I know that many of you got those emails because I'm just one among many, many, many on the lists. And this is not just from one person. This whole concept is being passed around the internet. It's being passed around through email. And really, really, we have enough real, genuine problems. And I really can't see that it does us any good at all to add to our fear and our worry and our stress. We've got enough real stuff to be worried about, and we should kind of be relieved that the sun is beginning to do what it does. Now, let me say this. It could be that the sun kicked off with a bang and it's going to do a whole bunch more and a whole lot worse. That's a possibility, but it hasn't done it yet. And since you can't control it and there's nothing you can do about it, why would you worry? The only thing that you need to ever worry about is if there is a solution and you're not doing it. If there is no solution, if you have no control, why worry about it? Whatever will be, will be. Before my time, there was a hit called Que Sera, Sera. Whatever will be, will be. And that is a fact. But right here on planet Earth, where my feet are planted and where your feet are planted, there are some real situations that we don't need to worry about, but they're closer to home than the sun. That's 93 million miles away, and it's just doing normal stuff. It just burped. How about a magnitude 7 earthquake? About 2.5 hours ago in Papua New Guinea, or at least the report was about 2.5 hours ago. There's no immediate report of casualties or damage, no risk of a significant tsunami in the South Pacific's most populous island nation. Did you know that? Papua New Guinea is the South Pacific's most populated island nation. 7.0 earthquake. At first, I read one report that said 7.2, but I think they've downgraded that now to a 7 point. And the quake struck near the island province of New Britain, which is 352 miles northeast of the national capital, Port Moresby. And so we'll be hearing some more about that. You know, it sits on the Ring of Fire, and so it's sort of like if you take a bucket full of water and you move it suddenly to the left, what happens? The water sloshes to the right. If you move it suddenly to the right, the water sloshes to the left, and these earthquakes seem to do that. You know, we have a big earthquake there, then there's one across the Pacific, over here near where I am, and then the next one is back over there, and it just kind of sloshes back and forth around that Ring of Fire. So that's worth keeping our eyes open and our minds open and alert to see where that's going. I have one more thing to throw on the table, and then I'm going to open up the telephone lines, probably after this next break. This one, this is not paranormal. It is anomalous. It's becoming so common that it's, I guess, not anomalous anymore. You do realize that just because something is usual, that doesn't mean it's normal. The psychologists tell us that norms are whatever the most people in a society have agreed upon as being okay. And so it's okay, and those are our expectations of behavior, and therefore that's normal. No. No, you see, there are some things that go so far beyond the pale of sanity that nobody anywhere on the planet agrees that it's normal. For instance, the philosophy, behavior, and actions of the Nazis in Nazi-controlled Germany during World War II. Their philosophies, their beliefs, their actions became usual, but nobody on this planet would say that's normal. It wasn't normal. It was abnormal. Well, this has become very usual, but I think it's abnormal. And that is the way the media is attempting at every level, on every story, to shape your opinion. They don't just report the facts. In fact, you really have to dig sometimes through their stories to find a fact or two. But they're not trying to just report the facts of a story to you. They're doing something else. They're taking the basic story and they twist it and bend it and then give it to you as if that's the way the story goes. Because they're trying to shape your opinion. They're trying to shape public opinion. This one is about the BP oil gusher down in the Gulf. Now, the story here is not bad. It's fairly factual. It's the headline that bends the story. I'll tell you about it when we come back, and then we'll open the phone lines. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is, in fact, going to be open line night, BYOT. That means bring your own topic, and we'll do that starting in just a few minutes. But like I said, I wanted to throw these topics out there and give you a little something, a little grist for the mill, if you will, a little something to think about. All right, here's this headline on this article. I don't know. I don't know if the writer of the article chose the headline. I don't know if the editor chose the headline, but this takes the cake. Remember all of those images that we've seen of just unbelievable amounts of crude oil, toxic crude oil, spewing into the Gulf of Mexico for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles and scores of miles, hundreds of miles, the oil slick. Here's Here's the headline. Hope for Gulf as BP plugs well, comma, most of the oil gone. Are they out of their ever-loving minds? Oil does not dissolve in water. I mean, haven't they ever heard the old adage, well, you know, that guy and his girlfriend are kind of like oil and water. They separate. Oil does not dissolve in water. And they sprayed tons of highly toxic dispersant on that oil to cause it to break into small particles and sink beneath the surface. Where do they think it has gone? Hope for Gulf as BP plugs well, most of the oil gone. That is not an inaccuracy. That is a lie. The oil is not gone, and that's my opinion. It's my opinion. That's a lie. They know that oil's not gone. That oil has broken into smaller particles. A lot of it has. Smaller little globs. It has sunk beneath the surface, and there are columns of oil way down into the deep. And it's not gone. It will never be gone. Now, it will get scattered and dispersed from the Gulf into other bodies of water in time, but it isn't gone. It's down there polluting and killing. And it's going to do that for decades. But here we've got news media. You can find it. It's on Yahoo News. Hope for Gulf as BP plugs well, most of the oil gone. Their mines are gone, maybe, but the oil is not. The oil is not gone. It's not going to be gone for a long, long time. This is an attempt to bend your public opinion away from the anger towards BP and towards the government here in the United States. BP, for allowing this to happen, and we all know about all of the things that were done wrong that caused this to happen or appear to have caused it. That's all been reported. We know about our government basically sitting on the sidelines and being kind of told by BP, well, here's how it's going to happen. They're trying to bend your attention away from that. They're trying to bend your anger away from that. They want to refocus everything and make you think it's okay. Well, it's not okay. It is not okay. There is death going on in the Gulf of Mexico. Animals by the scores are dying. And let me tell you, there has been a 40% decrease in plankton at the lower levels of the world's oceans over the past 60 years already. What do you think dumping all that oil in there is going to do? Now, you might say, well, I don't eat plankton. I mean, who cares, right? I've never had a plate of plankton. Yeah, but the plates of stuff you have eaten ate plankton. And if there ain't no plankton, there ain't nothing on your plate. Does that get it? Does that sort of reach out there and grab you? If the plankton goes, ladies and gentlemen, the food goes. Big, big animals eat plankton in the ocean. And then we eat those animals. We eat fish. We eat seafood. They feed on plankton. And when the plankton's gone, the stuff that feeds on them will be gone. and you're next. You are next. It's Bring Your Own Topic Night, and the telephone lines are open. The telephone number is 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Let me give it to you again. 623-444-5889 or toll free in the United States and Canada, 888-223-4599. So bring your own topic means we'll talk about these stories that I have mentioned here, or we can talk about whatever it is that is on your mind. Okay, as long as it's within our genre. So maybe you've seen a ghost. Maybe you've had an encounter with an extraterrestrial. Maybe you've seen a UFO, or you've read an interesting book about it. Or maybe you really got into that story that I reported about the KGB digging up the tomb of Osiris back during the Cold War. Whatever it is, give us a call and let's talk about it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
All right, Kevin. Yeah, that's something. I still think that, our scientists wish they knew as much as they think they know. As far as what's going to happen with that,
With what?
With the sun, and possible stuff hitting us. We've been pretty lucky so far, so it's bound to come our way sooner or later. And like I say, it's like if we were still back, in the day, we probably wouldn't care and wouldn't know. But today, it could ruin, it could mess up our whole day.
It can mess up your whole day. And that's kind of the point I was making. I hear about, there are going to be solar flares that get out on the deck with us, and a bunch of people are going to be fried, and the electric grid is going to be fried, and it's going to be horrible. Okay. Yeah. Well, if that's going to happen, it's going to happen, whether you know it's coming or not. And if you know it's coming, unless you've got a hole to get in that's very, very deep, several hundred feet deep, the radiation of something like that is going to get you. Mm-hmm. So the deal is, since I can't control it and you can't control it, even if somebody tells me, okay, look, Smith, here's the deal. 11 minutes and 27 seconds from now, the solar flare is going to be on the deck with us, and it's going to fry us all. Okay, well, hey, I hope the next 11 minutes and 27 seconds are happy ones for me, because there's no place for me to go hide from the sun.
Yeah. I think I've heard that them gamma rays from black holes that they've been detecting has more of a chance, and they're more powerful. If they would hit us, that would take out our atmosphere and everything than what the sun would.
Yeah. One direct hit from a good strong gamma ray burst.
Yeah.
No atmosphere instantaneously. Wham! Gone.
Yep. About that plankton, one other thing, I don't know if you know about it, but that plankton, that also, there's scientists out there trying to bring food up from the bottom of the ocean to the top, plankton, because that's a number one carbon monoxide eater also, for the greenhouse effect.
Mm-hmm. Well,
a lot to do with that, too, also, besides food.
Well, that's right. They're very small. You can barely see them. Many of them you really can't see. But you if you look hard, you can see plankton. They're very, very tiny, and our lives depend on them.
Yeah. There's these certain ones. They're kind of like circular, and, they absorb a lot of carbon dioxide, and when they die, they sink to the bottom of the ocean, and they take the carbon dioxide with them. So that's why they're so important, and the scientists are trying to bring the light more to parts of the ocean that ain't got plankton. And did you know one of the Baldwin brothers, he was part of somebody who made some kind of device that would clean up oil in the Gulf. And, you know, he's really pushing hard on this thing. And it's, you know, it's not chemicals, and it's, you know, it's all biologically safe and everything. And, you know, and he's been trying to get people to back him, and I guess he got some where they built, you know, a dozen of them or so, and they float around out there, and they just eat it up, you know, or whatever it does to it. But it was pretty interesting, you know, that, you know, the middle one, the ball one, I can't think of his name, he's got a machine that supposedly he was, you know, been trying to get the government and BP to, you know, make these things and get them out there to clean that up instead of doing what they're doing. So I just didn't know if you knew about that or not.
I was not aware of that. I am aware that there are a number of good solutions that will work and are proven. Basically, the attitude of the government and BP has been sort of like, go away, boy.
Yeah, I think BP, with their money, I think, you know, they're big enough to, you know, push around even our government and, you know, and our
country. Oh, I don't think so. I've been watching that, haven't you? Haven't you been watching our government sit on the sidelines?
Well, that's what I mean. That's why I say BP, I think, strong enough to push them around.
Mm-hmm.
And tell them what's going to happen, you know. Instead of us telling them what's going to happen. So.
Well, I'm hearing news that basically there's not any more oil to be found.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's what they're saying in the news. Okay, if that's the case, then we can consider ourselves out of oil right now. Because if there's no more to be found, then we know the day it runs dry. Gotta run. We're into a break. Thanks for the call, Terry. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so do not go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is open line live tonight. Bring your own topic. And let's go to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Jeff from Montreal. Thank you for taking my call, Kevin. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you, Jeff?
I was doing just fine until you raised the topic of BP, and some of us here in the Kevin Smith chat room were going off as well, and I guess it got me going, because you can't make assertions like that and seriously expect rational thinking people to believe that type of stuff. I'm referring to the headlines that claim that the oil is disappearing, and also the fact that Obama's chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, had close ties to BP, that Obama's relationship with Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan and Core Exit are inexorably linked. Fact that BP is, I think, the second largest, if not the first largest, supplier of gas or oil or JP4 jet fuel to the United States Armed Forces. You know, like your last caller said very astutely, you know, it's not Obama that's calling the shots. He's the CEO, if you will, and he reports to a board of directors. And I'm sure I'm boring you to death with all of this, Kevin. We could talk about more exciting stuff, but...
Well, I think we all understand that the days when the president was the president are bygone days. That's back when we had a constitution. And we understand that the president... he's the front man for some very, very powerful people. And he exercises a lot of power, but only as he's directed to do so. And that would be true of Obama, but not just him. It would be true of each president we've had before him, back to Eisenhower. And starting after Eisenhower, the presidents began to be controlled more and more and more and more by these power brokers. And until today, we've seen with BP, we've seen just how much control a president actually has now. But the idea that the press, that the media would even dare to print a headline like that. I mean, do they think we are raving lunatics? Do they think we're morons? You know, we know what oil and water do.
Well, Kevin, there's enough fluoridated water in the U.S. and Canadian water system, I suspect, in most of Europe, and enough psychotropic drugs that are in our water system inadvertently or advertently. So it doesn't surprise me that the elite, quote-unquote, these scumbags at the quote-unquote top think that we are so dumbed down enough that we will actually believe that stuff. Like I said in the chat room, it's like waving that flag or that banner on the aircraft carrier saying mission accomplished. What mission? And nothing was accomplished, and it's still ongoing, and people are still dying from that. And people are still suffering on the Gulf Coast.
And they're going to for many years, for decades.
And who knows if this problem really has been fixed or managed from the beginning. This has been concocted, spun. We've been lied to. And yes, I guess they really do believe that some of us are idiots and dumbed down enough to eat that garbage. I'm not going to swallow it. I know you're not. I know most of your listeners aren't going to swallow it. And, you know, if this is what they're going to do in a national quote-unquote emergency, can you imagine when a real emergency comes down the pipe, excuse the pun, again, like a Katrina or another 9/11, these people don't care about our welfare. That is very clear to me now, that these people have no concern except their bottom line. And I hate to use these cliches, but it's so apropos. They could care less about us. We're truly living in a corporatism or corporatistic or fascist police state now. And it sounds cliche to say all of these things, but these things have been already said in the last 5 or 6 years, but it's so abundantly clear now. If you can't see this, then you must be either in serious denial or on really good medication, Kevin.
Now, you have to be careful about saying things like that. I made the statement on the air one night that something happened, I don't even remember what it was, and I made the statement. I said, well, they've got pills for that. Oh, my God, the storm I got in the email. Unbelievable. I was insensitive, and I owed an apology to people who have to take medication. Never mind the fact that I have to take blood pressure medication to stay alive. Never mind the fact that I have, you know, I'm in the group. I owed everybody an apology. So you're in trouble now, Jeff.
That's fine. I take pills. I take medication. I don't succumb to the peer pressure of the sheeple that try and use those types of ad hominem attacks on you or me as a distraction, and continue to focus on the real immediate problem, which is staring at them in the face. And if they actually open that mirror that they're looking at and look behind that mirror, they'll find that their medicine cabinet is probably more full of pills than mine, and that probably most Americans probably don't realize that prescription drugs kill more people in the United States of America every year than cocaine, crack, and some other drug, all three combined.
Yeah, we're being medicaled to death. Jeff, I got to run. Thanks for the call, man.
Thank you, Kevin. Take care. Of
all right. 623-444-5889. Or toll free at 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, there are two ways for you to give us your thoughts and participate in this show. One, you can call our main number, 623-444-5889. It works from anywhere in the world. But because I don't have a toll-free telephone line out there beyond the United States and Canada, I have for you something called a flash message. So you just go to my website and scroll down, and you'll see where it says flash message. All righty then, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, it's John and Mesa. How you doing?
Hi, John. How are you?
Doing well.
Good.
How do you like your new setup wherever you are?
Well, it's hot and it's humid. It's kind of like Phoenix, but not quite as much in the northern suburbs of hell.
Or the branch offices, anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you hit on a couple of really interesting topics tonight that I like to talk about. The microbe idea, as far as the media, I'm totally on board with your assessment of them. And the previous caller that was just in, they either lied about the quantities that were coming out before, or they lied about how quickly it cleaned up. It's the government crying wolf, and expecting us to panic over so they can pass some other laws that take more of our freedoms away from us. And so I totally agree with that. There are bacteria in the ocean that eat up the hydrocarbons, the oils, and then what they excrete, plankton eat, but it's a natural occurring one. But we didn't hear anything about that for the first 3 months of the oil spill. There is a company in Florida and there's a company in Georgia that have gone around the world and collected the plankton in various parts of the world because the oil is a little different depending on what oil well it's coming out of. And so they cultivated it and made it available to BP early on, to help with this. And the bacteria or the microbe grows and multiplies with the amount of food source it has, and then it diminishes and dies off, and it's gets eaten by fish and other things, sea life. And so that is true, but I'm quite certain that it did not disappear overnight and probably has political ramifications that they wanted out of the light so that Obama and whoever he's pushing don't have to deal with that when they're trying to win elections here in a few months.
Well, I am very hopeful, and I say this, we've got a break coming up, so if you will, hang on through the break. But I'm very, very hopeful, this has nothing to do with the elections, okay? The elections are kind of included under this umbrella. I am hopeful that the American people, indeed the world, is awake enough now to see what these guys are really up to. We'll be back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and Open Line Night. We have on the line with us John from Mesa. John, I was saying, I hope that people are alert and awake enough now because of the BP oil spill, oil disaster. But I hope this has shocked enough people, and as they have watched the United States government react pusillanimously And folks, if you don't know that word, look it up in the dictionary. It's a good word. They have reacted pusillanimously. And people have seen this. And I hope they're awake enough to see what these people are really all about and what they're really up to.
I think that shows like yours and others that allow the public to come in and talk are letting those who are the part of the thinking percentage of America and the world realize that we're not alone in seeing what's going on in our government. And as we cling together via vehicles like your show, we can then realize that the government, both of the country and of the world, is crying wolf to gain more and more control over the masses through fear. And it's going to reach a point where we're going to say, hey, we're all going to die one day anyway, and there's not a thing you guys can do to save us. So we're going to quit getting afraid of whatever it is that you talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to, I think it's already reached a point of oversaturation.
We keep finding out things that they haven't told us or they purposely didn't tell us about, like that Nibiru, for lack of a better term for it, the map that they accidentally let us know about.
Now don't be so hard on them. They do accidentally, once in a while, mess up and tell us the truth, so don't be harsh on them.
And I appreciate that, you know.
Be forgiving of that.
A glimmer of light here and there is always nice. It makes me feel like maybe I'm not so far out on a limb. But back in 2003, we had a massive comet, planetoid, whatever moved through the solar system, and there wasn't peep one from the big three media or anybody else until years afterwards. And it was twice the size of Jupiter. You know, it didn't cause any problems, but it did cause massive coronal ejections when it looped around the sun, but we didn't hear about it. And you have to do research on it to find it even today. I mean, if they wanted to scare the heck out of people, they certainly could have used that and been legitimate.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, but I think I do agree with the idea that we've reached a saturation point on fear.
Exactly.
You know, it's just enough is enough is enough. And the problem with that is something could come up where we really do need to have a fear response and really do something in an emergency way.
And
we won't, because
right. We've
been numbed by the dumb.
Well, and it's like my mother used to say, you have lies of omission and commission, the ones that they tell us, and the lies that they know, the facts that they know about but don't tell us, are lies of omission. You know,
yeah. The
secrets that they keep away from us. And we put them up there in those positions and paid them exorbitant amounts of money to accumulate that knowledge and distribute it to the masses who pay for them. Anyway, that's about all I had to say tonight.
Well, John, I want to thank you for the call. My sympathies to you for still being in Mesa.
Well, I appreciate the sympathies, and at least hopefully we're on the downside of summer.
Yeah, that's the thing. Once you... 6 months out of the year, you're in the northern suburbs of hell. But then when you get past that, I'll tell you, it is paradise on earth for the other 6 months.
That's right. Yeah, it's a great place. I don't even have my heater on in the wintertime anymore.
Yeah.
I love it. It's just great.
Yep. All right. Thanks for the call. Very interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone lines are open. And the telephone number is 623-444-5889, toll free 888-223-4599. What is on your mind this evening? It is BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hi, Kevin.
I just wanted to see if you've looked into this topic. about the Earth possibly moving into a new dimension?
Well, yes. And there's several, I guess we could say, theories about that. There are people with very different ideas about, first, they agree that it's going to happen, that it may already be happening, that it may be beginning. And then after that, they don't agree. After that, the theories go off in fairly divergent directions. I don't know. What do you think? I don't know if we're moving into a new dimension or not.
I don't know either, but like, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't even notice.
Well, if we change in sort of a parallel fashion with the whole planet, yeah, I'm not sure we would notice. But see, here's the thing. What the Earth is going through right now happens every 26,000 years, give or take a few years. Nobody was around. There's no one living now that was around last time we went through this. Now, we really have a problem because people who were around and who wrote about what was going on, the phenomena they saw, the disasters that took place. The problem is that we, in our uppity modern minds, have, for many decades, we have, and for actually centuries, have said, oh, that's all superstition and myth. It's very difficult now for the scientists, the professors, the PhDs, to turn around and say, whoa, folks, this stuff is real, and here's what's about to happen. They can't do it because it'll kill their book sales. So they won't do it. And that presents then a big gap in our knowledge about what we should be expecting as we go through this cycle, because it only happens every 26,000 years or so. And I'm persuaded that people who say they saw something generally did. Think about this, Kevin. At least 95% of the people in the country are decent, law-abiding people. If that weren't true, you could not hire enough cops to keep the streets safe. Well, with 95% being decent, law-abiding people who govern their own actions, why would we assume that if they say they saw a UFO, they're lying? Why would, on that topic, suddenly 95% of the people are lying? That doesn't make any sense, does it? And I think this is true all the way back through history. I think when people say they saw these phenomena in the sky and various things happened as we went through this cycle, I think they were telling the truth, and I don't think it's superstition or myth. That's about as close as I can get to an answer for you.
Okay.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. Bring your own topic night. Or we can talk about the topics I threw out there. What about this? You know, that's a big deal now about the earthquakes. A 7.0 earthquake is a pretty big earthquake. And being as it happened on this ring of fire, I think we can probably expect in the next few days there'll be a fairly sizable earthquake over on the other side of the pond. That would be North or South America. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Tracy from Ontario.
Hello, Tracy.
I finally watched that video that you were talking about on Friday with the KGB.
Uh-huh.
Wow. That was amazing.
That's a mind blower, isn't it?
It really is, especially at the end when those people just disappeared. That looked real.
Yeah, it did.
And a lot of the interviews they did, especially with people who said they were KGB agents, they had that kind of look to them.
So, mm-hmm.
I don't know. They seemed like they were telling the truth.
Yes. Now, you know, all of that can be staged and faked. However,
yeah, the whole thing could have been.
Except for the KGB film. The KGB film was taken to a professional film analysis laboratory and was checked, and it passed the test. It's authentic.
Yeah, I saw that part too. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that.
Maybe that documentary has been around a while. I don't know, but I just ran across it, and I have to tell you, it blew my mind.
Yeah, mine too.
I think there's really something to that Osiris thing, and I'll tell you, the interesting part is what we don't know. I mean, the really interesting part. Where did they put all of that stuff? Where's the sarcophagus? Where's the skeleton? Where's the 15 crates of relics that they took out of that tomb?
Well, probably in some great big secret room with, you know, 100,000 things that we should know about.
Yeah, it's at Warehouse 13, right?
Yeah. It probably is. You know, that BP thing, I think now I'm more concerned about the language they're using. I've been really listening to them today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything they're talking about to stop the oil, they called kill something, a kill switch, a kill whatever. You know, it's almost like they have to tell us what they're doing. Even the core exit, a core exit. What are they... What's under the water? Now I'm wondering what is under there that they want to release.
Hmm.
You know, it's something to think about. The words that they use are strange. Core exit is not an English word. It means nothing.
Yeah, it's a brand name.
But they all kind of mean something if you take them in little pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just something that hit to me today, and I'm thinking, well, you know, there has been a lot of disasters in that area, and maybe they're trying to release something. Maybe there's some ancient gas-sucking SUV under there. You never know.
Let's see, what would that be? Unidentified SUV. USUV.
It could be.
Yeah.
You know, you never know, because they're always... The government, even the big businesses, seem to want to hide things in plain sight.
Uh-huh.
So if you listen to their words, it seems really strange.
Well, it does. It seems very, very strange. And I had not thought about all of these words that they're using, but, you know, it maybe it's kind of a Freudian thing, you know. They
want us to panic. That's mm-hmm. obvious. But kill what? Kill who? Us?
Oh, that's happening. That's happening. You know, just by the disaster, if nothing else happened, if there was no other damage except the damage to the ecology in the sea right there, that's enough to kill lots of people. Just that.
Yeah, just that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the whole situation is scary, and I heard something about the patterns of the waters changing today, and even that's strange, that the waters grown cold, so they won't get their warm weather in Europe because of this. That's the whole thing is terrifying, but maybe they want us to be afraid. But I've been trying to find pictures or even Google or something to show what's going on under the ground there, but there's no place to even look. So now I'm waiting for some giant kraken to come out, or, you know, alien. I don't know, that's been under the water for 10,000 years.
Well, you know, it could be. I'm not a religious person. There are people that accuse me of being religious because I quote from the Bible sometimes. But I also read the Quran, and I read the writings of Buddha, and I've read the Bhagavad Gita, and so forth. And but it's very, very interesting that you're talking about perhaps there's something ancient under the seafloor that they're trying to release, because that's precisely what the Book of Revelation says is the case in the River Euphrates.
There's a lot of prophecies right now that are saying something's going to be released. So, hidden in plain sight again.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. All right, Tracy, I have to run along, but thank you for the call. Very interesting. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone numbers are 623-444-5889. Toll free at 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
This is just a thought. You remember that reverse speech guy you had on a few months ago?
Yes. I don't remember. I'll say it forward and then I'll say it backward. It's either David John Oates or John David Oates. I think it's John. Yeah, I think it's John David Oates.
Might get him on and see what he says about BP.
Now, that might be interesting. What BP officials have said forward is horrible enough.
Yeah, what are they saying backward?
Yeah. You know, it may be something like this, you know, where he says something about, the little people, you know, we want to do whatever we can to help the little people. That was forward. Backward, it may say, oh, my God, I am in deep doo-doo.
That's right. Anyway, that's just my thought.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. Also, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, which Bob in Australia has done. He says, number one, there was another documentary made on that group of people abducted. They analyzed the light of the videotape, and it didn't match any light, natural or man-made. Okay, number two, we are being told nothing over here on the BP Gulf stuff. Lots of laughs. I'm sorry, on the BP Gulf stuff-up. Lots of laughs. Still being kept in the dark by the lamestream media. Keep safe, Kevin. Bob in Australia. All right, Bob. I shall keep safe. And, the video that he's talking about refers to the documentary that we've been talking about. And this documentary, of course, was based on KGB film and documents. And the film has been authenticated as being genuine. And this was the discovery of the tomb of the visitor god, commonly known as Osiris. They found it. It shows them lifting the lid off the sarcophagus. You see the mummy inside. It's fascinating, absolutely fascinating. A group of people associated with the KGB primarily computer-type people and scientists, learned of all of this, and some of them had worked on the project. It was called Project ISIS, and they formed a group called the Followers, and they had calculated how long it would take if, when the sarcophagus lid came off, if it released an electromagnetic signal, how long would it take to get to the home star, and then what would be the soonest that the people on the home planet could respond. They calculated April 23rd, 1985 was the first date they could respond. And these Russian computer programmers, scientists, technicians went to Egypt, chartered a bus, went out to a desert location, a secret desert location, and as they're getting off the bus, the videotape that we're seeing that's in this documentary, someone had a video camera and they began to videotape, and you can see the people, you can see the faces in the group, and that's them, that's the Followers. And then the video camera, as the people are raising their hands into the air like this, there's a huge bright light above them, and the video camera raises up towards the light. You see it for a split second, and then the video camera falls to the ground, and that's it. Now, those people disappeared. There was nothing left there except the video camera and the empty chartered bus. That's it. That's all that was ever found. So that's what he's referring to. 623-444-5889 for those who do not have crippling arthritis. And oh my, I should not have said that, because I am going to be chastised by those who have arthritis. I have it too, all right? But if you don't have crippling arthritis and you can get to your phone, the telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. Andrew in Australia has sent a flash message, and we're going to get to it when we come back from this next break, all right? This next break is going to take over in a matter of about 10 seconds. And it's BYOT night. Bring your own topic. This is your chance for us to talk about what has been on your mind. All right? We shall return. Seems like BP is on everybody's minds strongly tonight, and I certainly hope that's the case, because this is an insult. I mean, this headline, "Hope for Gulf as BP plugs well, most of the oil gone." Look, in fairness, this report presents people saying there is going to be a problem, a huge problem, for a long, long time. Okay, so this article presents that information. The problem that I have here is the headline. This is a headline that says most of the oil is gone. Most of their gray cells must be gone to have written such a headline. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Spook's mom, Barb, from Minneapolis.
Okay, tell me your first name again.
Pook's mom or Barb.
Okay, I'm going to call you Barb, all right?
All right.
All right. And you're from Minneapolis?
That's right.
What is on your mind this evening?
The sun. I just recently started kind of learning about the how the sun is expected to become really active soon. And I'm wondering, if it's in an 11-year cycle and it's been recently very quiet, why is it expected to become very active in the next year or two?
Because it was expected to have been very active for this whole period of time, for this whole 11 years, but it hasn't been. And they've been saying, well, when it does start, it probably is going to really, you know, make up for lost time, so to speak. So that's why.
Thanks, Kevin.
Okay. Thanks for the call. All right. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. Do you have an iPhone or an Android? You know, I'm really not up to date on all of these gadgets because they are gadgets. They're far more than a telephone. In fact, they're not a telephone. They are radios. But, you know, I'm somewhat familiar with them. I'm not really, really polished and up to date on them. But if you have an iPhone or an Android or any of those sorts of things, you know, where they have these applications you can download, are you aware of the fact that you can listen to the Kevin Smith Show with those? Sometimes people send me email and say, I tried everything and I couldn't listen to your show. Did they try the alternative listen links? No, I didn't even see those. Right in the middle of the freaking screen. Right under where it says, Listen Live. And if you click the alternative listen link, there's about 5 different ways for you to listen to the show, aside from listening to it through my site. It's provided by Indy 104. And it says, cell phones. Listen with your cell phone. And if you click that, the instructions are there on how you can do that. So you can, you know, regular cell phone you can listen, or an iPhone, an Android. That's how I know that right now there are tons of people hanging around listening on their phones and not calling. I asked the question last week. I'll ask it now. What's the deal? Is your butt broke? You can't get up and get to your phone? Is that the deal? Well, we'll pray for your butt. Okay, from Andrew over in Australia. Well, I just wanted to remind everyone of the drilling into Lake Vostok. Currently, the Russians, after the 2010 drilling season, are 100 meters from the surface of the lake. They will break through to the surface this drilling season, which is 2010-2011. I can't wait to see what's down in the lake if the scientists are allowed to report findings, which I am not confident on the truth being released. However, considering the lake has been encased in ice for possibly 1 million years, let's hope that nothing is released that we have no immunity to, like a new virulent disease. Anyway, let's wait and see. Well, there is, of course, always the possibility of some bacteria or some virus that's living there that is very, very ancient, and we have no immunity to it. There's always the possibility of something like that, and there's the possibility it could get into our ecosystem. You know, a cold virus, just the normal cold, when you get a cold virus, it can be dangerous, and there are people that die from it, but it's not generally a pandemic, not something that you really have to worry much about. You're just uncomfortable for a while, and then you get okay. And yet, the common cold has wiped out vast populations of indigenous people who simply had no immunity to it. So we think, well, it's not that bad, it's just a cold. But they had no exposure to it. And when Europeans brought it to them, it wiped them out. And so you can have a bacteria or a virus that is not necessarily excessively toxic, but could be deadly simply because we haven't any immunity to it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Stefan in Quebec City, Kevin. How are you?
I am doing well, Stefan. How are you?
Doing great, actually. Kevin, I was wondering with the oil spill fiasco, the oil gush, I was wondering if you know if UFO reports have increased substantially worldwide in conjunction with it.
You know, we've asked several guests that question, and it doesn't seem really that there has been an increase.
Okay.
And, let me rephrase that. Based on what these guests have told us, it does not appear that there's been an increase worldwide. And there doesn't seem to have been an increase in the Gulf area.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Two ways that the gush has impacted my life is that I've resolved in the next couple of months probably to stop eating saltwater fish altogether, just go with freshwater, and also the rains are probably going to be becoming a lot more toxic in the coming months and weeks. What do you think?
Well, they certainly could. Anything that you put into water, a certain amount of it gets into the evaporation process. And whatever amount of it gets into the evaporation process, of course, then is in the clouds. And then when it rains, it's dropping it back on us. And so the toxicity of the Gulf is certainly, I think, something that we should be concerned about. And not just lightly concerned, we really should be concerned because of the process of evaporation and rain.
I wonder if there's one spot that in the skies where rain falls mostly that corresponds with the water. I know there's one spot in the oceans where most of the refuse and the garbage collect.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if wind currents sort of carry the rains in some way. I wonder if there's one spot in the world where the rains mostly fall on.
Well, I'm sure there's some place in the world that has the heaviest rainfall. Some place is the record holder. I don't know what it would be.
Hmm.
It's not the Gobi Desert.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. Well, Kevin, great show, and hey, let's continue having some. I think these are really interesting times. It seems to be coinciding with a lot of ancient writings.
Mm-hmm.
And with this logic, I mean, it's coinciding a lot. And I don't know where it's all leading, but, hey, we're all in it together, so we're all going to find out, as you say so often.
That's it. You got your surfboard?
I'm on the second wave.
All right. Thanks for the call. Yeah, when you see a tsunami coming, don't stand on the beach and shake your fist. It will do you in. Grab your surfboard and get ready for the ride of your life. Right? That's why I ask people sometimes, have you got your surfboard? Because I think we can see some tsunami-type turbulent times are coming. And, you know, you can survive it. That's the good thing. That's the good thing about it. You really can survive it. I'm going to. And I would recommend that you decide to survive it as well. You know, when I was a little kid, when I was a little boy, I really was a little boy. Okay, these days I'm just over 6 feet tall. I weigh 210 pounds. I'm not little, but when I was a little kid, I really was little. I was really skinny, and I was very small for my age. And so when I was like 3, 4, 5 years old, some of the bigger kids in the neighborhood would tell me about this one place, this one house up at the end of the street, and it had this redwood fence around it. And they used to tell me there was a monster living in there. And they would tell me, they would describe it for me, and they would say, don't walk too close to that fence. And, you know, I didn't know really the whole concept of should I believe this, not believe that. I mean, that's a concept that a 3, 4, 5-year-old kid doesn't have. What I did have was healthy fear of that fence. And I would not go near that fence. No way. I stayed away from that redwood fence. And I'm sure they had some good chuckles out of that. However, living on the other side of that redwood fence, I later discovered, as I entered my teens, was this gorgeous girl my age. No monster. Now, life is a whole lot like the redwood fence. We got a lot of people telling us, oh, there's a monster over that fence. And maybe there is. Maybe there's a beautiful girl over the fence. Or for you ladies, maybe there's a gorgeous guy over the fence. Maybe it's not a monster. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach. It's BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic, here tonight. And we're having calls from all over the place, and we're also getting flash messages from around the world. To the telephone caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Tony from Denver.
Hello, Tony. How are you?
Good. Hey, Kevin, I can tie the sun and the oil well together.
Okay.
All one would have to do is to watch Knowing, which is about the sun killing all of us. And then one would also have to watch The X-Files Season 8, Episode Vienen. And in that episode, the aliens come up from the bottom of the ocean, and they come up through the oil well in an attempt to call the other aliens to come and kill us all. And in one more twist of fate, in both The X-Files, Vienne, and in Knowing, you see an oil, what you would call it, an offshore oil rig. Both of them, you see it blow up in the end.
So, what do you think? You think there's a bunch of aliens under the ocean floor? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and I'm also trying to say, like Steven Spielberg does a lot of the time, like in his TV episode Taken, that's on the History Channel once in a while. He's trying to give us clues to what's happening to us.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing in The Knowing and in The X-Files, Vienen, Season 8.
Okay, so you think that those two films or TV shows are sort of leaking information to us in the form of fiction?
Yeah, one might say that those happened before the regime blew up the oil rig in the ocean, but I think time is not linear. Everything happens all at once.
Okay. So what happens next?
Well, they're trying to thin out the population on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many humans, I think, and they want to make more room for alien-human hybrids.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess, you know, if that's their plan, they've got their work cut out for them.
Yeah, it'll be simple, Kevin. You'll see.
I don't know. I don't think so. I really don't. It's not that I think the masses will rise up and fight back. It's that
the aliens.
Yeah, it's that they can't. We're at a point now where people have enough information to know what's going on, and they can't do it under the cover of darkness. They can do it, but they can't hide in the darkness and do it. They've got to come out in the sunshine.
Well, let's hope you're right, Kevin.
Well, I mean, you know, look at this deal. It is so completely, totally obvious to me, now this is my opinion, that there is, I'm not going to use the word collusion, but I don't know of another word that would be close. It's not, I don't think we're quite at collusion between our government and BP. But there is a lack of willingness to be the government in the face of BP. That's what it appears to me. And it's very obvious to a lot of people around the world. So they're out in the sunshine. They can't hide it.
Well, great show tonight, Kevin. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you for the call. All right. To a flash message from Davey in the United Kingdom. Hello, Kevin. The UK media is covering the same story. Quote, 3/4 of oil from Gulf has been dispersed. End quote. Operations finally coming to an end. Apparently, the oil has been skimmed, burnt, contained, dispersed, diluted, eliminated from the ecosystem with the help of Mother Nature. Well, thank goodness for that. I can now finally get some sleep. Kevin, what is your take on the latest release of MOD files, which, amongst other things, detail how Churchill, along with Eisenhower, may have covered up UFO encounters during the Second World War, classifying them for at least 50 years. Well, there seems to be pretty good evidence of that. And what's my take on it? Well, they were at war. I don't think they knew what these things were. It was beyond their control, and it was beyond their ability to explain, beyond the ability of their top military intelligence to explain. I think I can understand why they classified them. Another point on what is my take on that would be, well, there you go. You got Churchill and Eisenhower, and then on the one hand saying, yep, they exist, let's classify it. On the other hand, you got Bill Nye, the science guy. Whoop-dee! All right, Ross from the United Kingdom says, regarding the KGB documentary, my opinion is that it's fake. Reasons being is that the footage of the excavation and so-called hidden camera is too perfect. It all looks staged. It was staged. It wasn't accidental. It was staged. There were all those films of the so-called enhanced interrogations, all those videos of that, taken by whom? Taken by the CIA. And I guess maybe some military people who were present at the interrogations, the waterboarding and so forth. And yeah, it was staged. They had someone there for the purpose of videotaping. And in the KGB's case, they had a cameraman there for the purpose of filming what they were doing, documenting it for the KGB. Also, the abduction footage, you'd think the camera operator would be filming the craft, not the people looking at the craft. Well, as soon as the lights appeared, the camera did move upward, and you catch a glimpse of light, and then, poof, the camera falls to the ground. So, he's filming, or she is filming, the crowd until the craft appears, and when it appears, they tried to get that in the shot, and poof. Now, I'm not saying that I'm guaranteeing that that footage is authentic. However, I think it is. My opinion, I think it is. As for authenticating authenticity claim, they would say that, wouldn't they? I used to do a bit of video production work a few years back, and this all seems to fit a staged hoax. Okay. From your point of view, and I respect your point of view, from my point of view as a cop, and having served as intelligence officer for a number of years, I don't think so. Was the filming of the inside of that tomb staged? Absolutely. We had people that videotaped operations that we were involved in for a number of purposes, but we had people appointed to you videotape. And so, it was staged. But that doesn't mean it was a hoax. And I don't think that it's a hoax, but it might be, okay? See, this doesn't have the flavor to me at all. This doesn't have the flavor of the Ray Scintilli alien autopsy stuff. But look, that's my opinion. And, you know, if you think it's hoaxed, good enough. Pass the salt. We have different opinions on that, but that's okay. All right. We've run out of time for this evening, and it is time now for me to say, my friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.